Yes, we're going to take your phone calls with psychic Joseph Jacobs in just a moment. But first, of course, a couple more guests who are joining us with our 7-year anniversary party. 13 years ago, when I was doing my local show in St. Louis, I picked up a book called The Encyclopedia of Dreams by Rosemary Ellen Guiley. I couldn't put it down. Had to get her as a guest. And she was a great guest. And here she is. Rosemary, how are you?
Hi, George. I'm doing great. I can't believe it's been 13 years.
I know. It does go by so quickly. And then the 7-year anniversary party with Coast to Coast, where you have brought us just incredible insight into interpreting and talking about dreams, werewolves, ghosts, angels. You've done it all.
I certainly love the paranormal, and I'm interested in investigating all of that. Dreams tie into just about everything, too.
You know, the spirit world, which is something that fascinates you. You know, you and I are collaborating on Talking to the Dead, a work that will be out, if we're lucky, this year, maybe. What was your interest in that realm, Rosemary?
I began doing electronic voice phenomena experimenting back in the 1980s. I got interested in doing investigations in haunted places, and that's one of the main techniques that investigators use to put recorders out and ask questions and try and capture mystery voices that might directly answer questions. Researchers have been experimenting this way for decades, really since about the 1930s. And now we're into an era of real-time communications where we have devices that seem to facilitate the direct contact with some presence or entity in another dimension in real time, not passively by listening to voices after the fact, but talking to someone like you and I are talking now. Very exciting.
And, of course, you've been very helpful to a number of people trying to steer them through their dreams. You were very helpful to me once when I had that nightmare, that recurring nightmare about my college days and, you know, whether I even had my certificate or not. I'd go to sleep with it, as you know, Rosemary, with my diploma next to me to make sure when I woke up it was still there. And you helped me through that. I don't have to do these weird things anymore, but there's a lot of powerful messages in our dream state, isn't there?
There certainly are. I've always called them a mirror of truth. They reveal to you fundamentally how you honestly feel about how you think you're doing in the world. They mirror our fears, our anxieties, our emotions. They confront us about things that are going on in our lives. And they also take us into a visionary realm where we transcend the physical world and we tap into other realities, part of ourself that can travel. You know, astral travel is very common in dreams, and we can have encounters with other entities. We can have even great mystical experiences in dreams, precognitive experiences, things that we can't normally experience in ordinary waking consciousness. But yet it's real. I think it's part of our multidimensional self and our multidimensional experience of the total sum of realities out there.
Well, many more days to come with you, Rosemary, and you have a great 2010.
Thank you, and lucky 7, George. This is a great year.
I love it. All right, thanks. And, of course, when it comes to numbers, nobody knows numbers better than our friend Glynis McCants, the numbers lady. Hi, Glynis.
Hi, George. Happy anniversary.
Thanks. It went by too fast. So we got to do another 7 or 8.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll keep doing that. How's your new year? Did you bring it in with a storm?
Oh, yeah. It's going really well. You know, doing lots of calls about what's in store for 2010 and all that fun stuff.
Is it going to be good for us?
Well, I'll tell you, it reduces to a 3, and 3 means communication. So it's really about people expressing what they really feel. So I love it. I love it for the United States of America. People aren't going to be lazy. They're not going to complain about if they don't like what's happening with the administration. They're actually going to rise up and say something. So I love that.
Speaking of love, how is Love by the Numbers doing?
Love by the Numbers is doing great. People are loving it. If you check that out on Amazon, all the reviews have been so positive. Like, they're learning how to do it. And I know I sent you a book. I don't know if you had a chance to look at
it.
But
I sure have.
Yeah, it's a kick, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a fun way of looking at things. And I wanted to say something about you. Two things. This 7-year anniversary actually is huge for you for one reason. You are a 7 life path. So this is about a spiritual thing, like a spiritual breakthrough for you as a person. And also, this, starting January 1st, you just went into a personal cycle of 4. And George, that is the time not only to write, because I know you talk about that book you're working on, but it's also a time to teach others what you know.
This is the year.
Yeah, it really is. So that's all really positive stuff for you.
Many more. Give Charlie our best, Glynis.
Absolutely, I will.
Glynis McCants, the numbers lady. And we'll be back with your phone calls with psychic Joseph Jacobs in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Joseph, give us an overview of the card system, how you discovered it, and how it works.
Well, my mother was psychic, and I didn't tune in to that until I was 40. And got very spiritual. I was very secular in the first 40 years of my life. And I was living in Venice, California, and walking on the beach one day, and I met this Brit, long beard, long gray hair. You know, he's a couple of years younger than me, and we started talking, and he asked me my birthday, and I said I was January 12th, and he said, oh, you're into a space. And I said, okay, another nutcase, and started to almost walk away. And this woman who was with him said, no, Joe, stay. We became friends, and we would meet regularly, and you never know who your teachers are going to be. And he introduced me to this card system. And from his perspective, not from the books that had been written, there had been about a half a dozen books at that point. And I started reading friends, relationships, people. And as I got to know the card system, I saw how accurate it was. And decided in 1982 on New Year's Eve, this is what I want to do. I'd never thought of being a professional psychic. I had dabbled for, 30 years in various forms of numerology. Yeah. I'd looked at astrology, cards, I Ching, runes, all kinds of stuff. I was always interested. I was always interested in religion. Even though I was secular, I would read about the various religions of the world. And I took myself seriously. And the doors just began to open up. I mean, my first radio show was in 1982 in Palm Springs. And then Los Angeles, and then I was accepted by the best psychics and astrologers in town, and we organized ourselves against the government, who wanted to make it illegal and from old religious laws, and because there are a lot of charlatans out there, and it was part, one of my missions, one thing that I've never talked about on Coast to Coast, was to stay away from con artists. People who rip you off and ask you for huge amounts of money to take a curse off of you or that sort of thing. And I'm still improving. I still work at it. So each day is symbolized by a card. It's almost as if we were given another set of DNA. And that I read, and we're influenced by many things: the geography that we live in, our DNA, how we were raised, our education, astrology, numerology. But the cards seem to, as somebody called it, meta-symbology. It brings a lot of disciplines together. And so there are 7-year cycles, and there are 7 cycles within a year, and I can read month by month. In fact, I can read week by week of the lessons you have, and then, of course, convert those lessons into mundane matters of business, relationship, job finding, health issues, although I like to stay away from that. I'm not a doctor. But, like, this is a good time for you to get a checkup kind of thing. And the accuracy of it, I still get chills. I've had very few complaints in over 18,000 readings. And it's kind of a marvelous thing. So each card has, as a result of doing these readings, I see how we're all choreographed. We have free choice within that. You know, we have a choice of, do I go faster? Do I go slower? Do I take action? Do I not take action? But we're given these lessons, and it's how to traverse and move through these lessons to grow. We are here to refine ourselves through our religious involvements, through our spiritual involvements, if you're not religious, through our work, through how we handle our finances, through how we handle our love situations. And the cards seem to speak to that. So every day, so you were born, you're a king of diamonds. Mm-hmm. Art Bell is a king of clubs. I mean, you're both masters of your trade, have leadership qualities. But you're not just the king of diamonds. Your soul is a three of clubs, which means that you have multiple interests. The way people experience you is as a seeker of spirituality and healing. In a sense, you are a spiritual capitalist, and you are a communicator. You work well in partnership and need partnership. And so there are actually 10 or 20 cards for each birthday. And each aspect of you has, you're a good organizer, or need to be. It's one of your lessons is to organize people and things. You have an incredible sense of obligation. You owe a phone call, you won't rest until it's made. You owe a letter, you won't rest until it's taken care of. And you will work into old age. I mean, that's part of your life path, is to work until you can't anymore, you know?
Yeah, when they wheel me out after a commercial break, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so you also discriminate in the best sense of the word between what's valuable and what isn't. And so as the managing editor of this radio show, you can discern between what's worthwhile and what is not worthwhile for us to listen to. As Art Bell, who's the king of clubs, can soak up all sorts of knowledge and then evaluate it and broadcast it and analyze it as well.
So
I'm in the midst of royalty here.
All right, you ready for some calls?
I'd love it.
Let's go to Minnesota. First-time caller, Todd, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Todd. Good morning.
Hi, Todd. Happy New Year. And by the way, Happy New Year, everybody. Make it a good year.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Todd.
Thank you. Joseph, I wanted to find out if you see a connection between the psychic field which you follow, remote viewing, Native American spirituality, and shamanism.
Oh, yeah. We're all connected. It's all connected. Absolutely.
I guess, Joseph, it is all connected. Is there a specialty that works better than another?
In what way?
Is the shaman more psychically inclined than the remote viewer, for example?
Well, a remote viewer can't tell me why I'm here and what my lessons are and how to handle them. They're very good at spy work, detection, archaeology, finding things, seeing what potential dangers there may be, but don't speak to life paths. A shaman can speak to life path intuitively, psychically, can deal with healing issues. Psychic is a generic term for a lot of different disciplines. It's like doctor. You know, you can be a heart specialist, a lung specialist, a dentist. Mm-hmm. So there are many different kinds of intuitions, and those are all, they're all brothers and sisters, yes.
Next up, we go east of the Rockies. We'll go to Houston, Texas. Hey, Edward, go ahead.
Yes, Happy New Year to both of you.
You too, Edward.
Yes, Yeah,
happy anniversary.
Yes, sir. You have did a reading for me. Yes, sir, you did. I'm the one in this visually impaired. I have a business.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, yes. And I wanted to know how things look in that area, you know.
Well, I'm not doing any personal readings tonight.
Okay.
I never do on Coast to Coast.
Okay.
But it is, you know, it is amazing to me how many vision impaired clients I've had, or people with disabilities, who overcome those. They don't sit back and feel sorry for themselves. I've had vision impaired people who are who work for the government, who do translations, who and persist in what you need to do. You know. And I encourage you to continue with what you're doing.
Joseph, if 12 people are born on the same date, will they have similar outcomes when you
They'll have similar lessons. The you know, how that those lessons manifest may be different. Let's say an actor and a bus driver, okay? The bus driver may be in a holding pattern or in a strike. The actor's looking for work. Suddenly, the actor finds work, and the bus driver gets a better work situation through the union. Okay, so in other words, there are certain birthdays which are prone to criminality, for instance, and that's what I put on my blog. If I see certain days which where the military and peace officers need to be on special alert, I put that on my website.
Interesting.
But those same people, same birthdays rather, can be great artists, salesmen, inventors, very productive people, and yet the same birthday I had an astrologer who knew about my involvement with the cards. She's passed on. Rocky Gardner, who used to write the LA Weekly, wonderful column, astrological column, and she's had some connections with the cards, and she said, you know, we looked at some serial killers and couldn't find anything astrological, and yet 9 out of 12 of them were these particular cards. we're given the opportunities, and it's how we use those opportunities, you know.
You don't deal with the tarot cards though, do you?
I don't particularly like the tarot cards. I think the cards are connected. I think there's a lot of misinformation about the tarot cards. But I think in the hands of a really good intuitive, that's their tool. That's what gives them focus. That's what puts the client at ease and feels as if the information is coming that way. You know, there ought to be 26 cards in the major arcana and 52 cards in the minor. But I don't even want to go there, okay? I have a lot of opinions.
Are most people interested in finances, relationship? What's number one on the list?
Well, right now it's jobs. You know, it's been a hard year to do a reading for a lot of people. But I encourage them to use certain tools and to go into other areas. And one area is a lot of people look for jobs on the internet and in the classifieds. But then there are 10,000 other people who do.
Yeah.
I say use the yellow pages and make cold calls.
That's interesting. All right, stay with us. More phone calls with Joseph Jacobs and more special anniversary guests on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast AM and our seven-year anniversary party. We'll be back with Joseph Jacobs and your calls in just a moment. He's a mystifier. He's been a regular guest on Coast to Coast, and he has dazzled so many people over the years. Our friend Uri Geller with us. Uri, how are you, my friend?
Hey, thank you very much. I'm sending love and lots of sunshine from Cyprus, from Paphos. It's an incredible island in the Mediterranean, so I'm sending you all my love from here.
Uri, I understand you've got another television show, another series going on. Is that true?
Yes, I do. But of course, first of all, I want to wish you a huge happy birthday. Okay? How old are you today?
Well, it's the seven-year anniversary of being on Coast to Coast, so I guess you could say I'm 7 years old.
That's exactly what I meant. And to be 7 years, that is a huge happy birthday, because, you know, usually people in radio land don't laugh, but you're great. You're one of the best, and I'm not trying to boost your ego here, George, but you are not one of the, you are the best, the most brilliant radio presenter that I've ever met. And believe me, George, I've been interviewed not hundreds of times, probably thousands of times. So no wonder so many millions of people tune in and listen to you. You know, I get hundreds of emails a day. Many of them are to do with your shows, people that hear you all around the world saying, did you hear this guy on George Newry? Did you hear what he said? So you are hugely influential. And wow, to have such a positive thinker on such an important radio program, that is very, very important in today's day and age.
Uri, when we did the show a year or so ago, and you did the experiment by getting watches and clocks to move again with people holding them up to the radios, we ran that show again as a repeat a year later. And this is what's so amazing. People who heard that repeat rushed to the radios, left, put their watches and their clocks to the radio, and it worked again.
Yes, because, you know, it's not my energy that flies through the airwaves. All I'm doing is I'm a catalyst. I'm an enabler. I'm a trigger to the powers of the mind of people who are holding a broken watch. That's all. So it doesn't matter whether it's a live program or a repeat, it still works. And I've done this hundreds of times worldwide. It always works. And the proof to me is when people call me up and say, oh, Mr. Geller, I had a pocket watch, 100 years old. The watchmaker has told me, forget it, it'll never work. There's a broken part. The company doesn't exist. And it starts ticking. So it's just great. So, George, what can I tell you? Seventh anniversary. My best wishes, and I do call it a happy birthday type of a thing, because to me, every anniversary is a celebration.
It sure is. Uri, thank you, and look forward to a great 2010 with you.
Thank you. And anyone who wants to contact me, you know, through you or through my website, it's urigeller.com, and I email everyone back.
Great. Thank you, Uri. He's one of a kind. And of course, David Wilcock has brought incredible programs to Coast AM, and he's with us. Hey, David, welcome.
George, it's a pleasure to be here and to congratulate you for such a stunning service record that you have. I really very impressed with the online persona that you have and the process by which you're able to drill down into what really is at the heart of the issue with a particular guest. Extract the compassion out of the story. I think that that's kind of something you don't usually get complimented for, but I really see how you're able to find the grain of all of these stories that is moving us in a direction that's positive.
We are just rolling along here, David, and I want to thank you, too, of being such an integral part of Coast to Coast over these years. Really educating our audience to so many wonderful things that are out there.
Well, I think once you pay me back for that sandwich, then we'll be even.
Still owe you that lunch, don't I?
Maybe you can make it up to me at the Conscious Life coming up there.
That you know what? That was Dan Heiser's idea at the skedaddle. And
sure, you're going to offload it on your assistant.
Yeah, that's right. That's the great part of it all. It's Tommy's fault, right?
Gotta blame somebody. That's like the government, you know. I promised it to a different program.
A couple of years ago, I promised David Wilcock a lunch. We were at a conference together, so he joined us at the table. Somehow, Tom and I wandered away and forgot that we didn't buy the lunch for David.
You left me with the bill.
And left you with the bill.
Now, yep. Technically, you did share half of the sandwich with me, so... It wasn't a total stiff, but
we'll pick one up for you this year, David.
Sounds good.
All right, my friend, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
That's David Wilcock, great guy and a great mind, isn't he? He sure is. We'll be back now with your phone calls with psychic Joseph Jacobs on Coast to Coast AM. Joseph, what's your take on reality television shows? You've done some work looking into that.
Yeah, well, it occurred to me, you know, reality television shows were
were created because they were cheaper than,
yes,
than drama. And they're so-called reality because a lot of them are scripted. And it occurred to me after the fact, it's like an astrologer saying, well, of course this happened because of that. But it showed me the collective subconscious, because I very often get an idea for a story, a book, a play, or whatever, and don't do anything about it. And sure enough, two or three years later, somebody else has come up with something similar. Because we're all connected in this collective subconscious.
Sure.
What do you call it? The cyberspace?
The wireless internet.
The wireless internet. Yeah. So it occurred to me after the fact that what we've been looking at for 4 or 5 years now is you're fired, you're banished,
yep,
you're exiled. That consciousness, I think, whether it contributed to it or whether it created that situation. Let's talk about consciousness, because very often people looking for a job, for instance, will say, well, the economy is bad, or I don't have the skills. Maybe I'm too old. There's ageism. But it's those yes buts that keep us from getting what we want. I'd like a relationship, but I don't want to get hurt. I'd like a relationship, but all people of the opposite sex are. You know, so when the mind and the heart are like an equal sign, that's when you get into that cyberspace. That's when you get into the collective subconscious. It's when you yes but that you create situations which don't work for you. So you really have to get very clear in terms of what your will is, what your thoughts are, and the feelings that are involved. It's not just science of mind, it's science of heart. And by the way, working yellow pages, cold calling, or getting the Chamber of Commerce list of major corporations in your area,
sure,
that may not be listed. When you call, you say, anybody hiring? No. Who does the hiring? We're not hiring. Who does the hiring? We're not hiring. You make 20 calls an hour. Oh, Joan, are you hiring? No, not now. We're working on our budget. Call us in February. So you make a list of that. And you say, by the way, Joan, do you know anybody who might be hiring? And by doing that and consciously dealing with the rejection and dealing with that, you never know where your luck is going to come from.
Good point. Let's go to the phones here with Joseph Jacobs. Well, first of all, pick it up with Linda in Alameda, California. Go ahead, Linda. You're up with us.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for a splendid show. Joseph, I really admire the positive, calm way that you focus on things. And your whole idea of consciousness sort of ties into my question here. What can we individually and collectively do in terms of, like, are there specific tools or processes that we can utilize in order to prepare for whatever shift is coming?
Yeah, try to meditate, even if it's just ruminating, even if it's just being conscious of what your thoughts and feelings are. Another thing is writing affirmations, and affirmations work better than resolutions. Resolutions can be broken, they usually are. But affirmations, in other words, rather than saying I'm going to give up the cigarettes, alcohol, food, etc., you say I am healing. I am finding love in my life. I am finding work. I am working with people I like and people who like me. I am getting all my benefits. I am, et cetera. And as you write that, be aware of what negativity crops up, what yes but comes up, what so-called reality negativity comes up. And get maybe change it. We all have our yes buts. But be conscious of it and then focus and then take the action. Then you got to take the action. Does that help?
It does indeed. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You're a sweet caller.
Well, you know, Joseph, I have said all along that when people talk to you, they walk away feeling better. You're not a doom and gloom guy at all.
I'm not, although I have been in the last couple of years, I think. it's been difficult for me. But there are two things that I'm very concerned about. That's the corruption in our government, where a dollar buys a vote,
yeah,
rather than a vote buying good government. Until we clean up our elections, we're not going to get a government that works well. Look, we grew up America's anti-authoritarian from the get-go. We were anti the king, and we've made fun of cops. Mark Twain, Will Rogers. It's part of the American makeup to criticize government, but we've got a clean government so that it can function. The other thing I'm worried about is, I hate to bring up the heavy stuff, but the fire next time. In the 50s and 60s, they thought the fire next time might be an atomic war. What I'm concerned about is all the methane that may be released by the ice caps melting.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was suddenly a fire, there could be a chain reaction into our farms. You know, really the chickens and the cattle are creating a lot of methane and affecting our climate.
No concern about asteroids hitting us?
I don't see that, but that's not something that I see right now.
Let's go.
I do see 2012 that there could be a bit of a slowdown of life between, I would say, October, November of 2012 into February, but then life gets back to normal, which makes me think, and I've felt this for a long time, that the sun might suddenly burst out and send, you know, screw up some satellites and there would be trouble with ATMs and communication. We need to where the money needs to go is on our infrastructure, and I'm really mad that it hasn't so far. Our roads, our electrical, our electrical connections all need to be worked on.
Okay, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Robin in Oakland, California, west of the Rockies. Good morning, Robin. You're up with us.
Good morning and happy anniversary.
Thank you.
We share the same life number. 7 is our magic number. And I have been with you from the very beginning. And I can't even begin to tell you, George, how many times that you have, from the things that you've said and the things that you've done and calling and listening to your program at night, that you have touched me and saved me in a lot of ways.
Well,
and I am so grateful. And I keep your family. Congratulations, Grandpa.
Again, number 5.
Again.
Now we need to work on
your love life.
I didn't say that. Yeah, congratulations, Grandpa.
Yes. And, Joseph, you're wonderful. I could have used you with Master the Job Search, the 5 steps to employment for every job seeker. Uh-huh. And then my life exploded, so the book never got published. But you're exactly right in terms of making those phone calls to people, but finding out, say, hi, my name is Robin, who am I speaking to, and then using your name. And, Joseph, thank you so much, or Joseph, do you have any recommendations? People's names are always magic.
Mm-hmm.
My question for you, Joseph, is, and I'm trying to not put it in a personal way, do you feel that the tools that I am using are currently, or what would you recommend as the tools that I could most effectively use or people can most effectively use in terms of wrapping up my mission here?
You're a good advisor to others, and what may get in your way occasionally is your analytical abilities can become self and other critical. and
oh, you mean like I'm hard on myself?
Yeah, and you may be, and sort of be aware of that. Just let go of it, and move ahead with your ability to guide people.
Okay, and I wanted to compliment you both on the fact that words are so powerful. When I heard you say, you know, the corruption in our country and all the rest of these things, we need to speak out with those words. They're so incredibly powerful that and writing things down are so powerful.
Absolutely.
So I pray for the healing of your friend George.
And sometimes ignoring reality. I mean, I changed careers in 1973 when they were laying off 10,000 people a week in the airline business. I said, I never traveled. Gee, I was out of stupidity. I never thought of it. I walked up and down Fifth Avenue in New York, walked into every airline office, and got a job with an airline. And I, you know, in 1973. It was with Olympic Airways, a Greek airline. They put me on the phones, and 6 months later, they put me onto the street, and I was covering the Empire State Building to the Twin Towers, you know, as a sales rep. So, I mean, it came out of not thinking, hey, this is terrible. Don't do it. Don't go there. And this is long before I knew about consciousness.
Joseph Jacobs' website, by the way, is 800cself.com. That's also your toll-free number, isn't it?
That's my toll-free number, too, yes.
1-800-C-SELF, S-E-E-S-E-L-F. You've had that number forever, haven't you?
Yes, and you sell me better than I ever could.
Well, you know, you just provide a great service to so many people, Joseph. We're going to take another hour of phone calls and more special anniversary guests as well. You think we'll be doing this another 10 years from now, Joseph? What do you think?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I think so.
It's in the cards.
You have it. You have an awesome year, and I'm glad you're writing a book because you need to be.
Well, we have got some great partners that do the lion's share of the homework.
You've got all sorts of projects to open up this year.
Well, we do. I'm looking forward to getting back to Los Angeles on Friday because much more work to come. I'm George Dory. Back in a moment with Joseph Jacobs and more very special guests on this 7th anniversary, all next on Coast to Coast AM.